principal. There was no organized Hebrew school those days, and he was the principal and the supervisor, and they had a paid teacher. Now, I cannot tell you about any of the children or how or about the cheder of the Bnei Yaakov, which was across the street. But later on, this little one-room, this Lincoln cabin-like shul became the Beth HaMedrash Agudel at Preston and Fair.
Oh.
And then after that, Rabbi Zache had already accumulated enough help from the Balabatim in Louisville to build a Louisville Hebrew school on Walnut Street between Floyd and Brook, nearer to Brook Street. And that was the Louisville Hebrew School, which exists today.
Oh,
it
really?
Was with the help of Mr. Leo Welko and his son-in-law, Mr. Shaffet. They were very hard workers in those days, and they helped finance and raise money and institute the Louisville Hebrew School. That's where it was. They had pretty good teachers. Now, I wasn't very much, I had already stopped studying Hebrew because I had already practically studied all they could teach me, and
yeah.
I kept studying with Rabbi Zache. I used to attend all of his lectures.
Who was this Rabbi Zache?
Rabbi Zache was known as the Rav HaKolel of Louisville, the chief rabbi.
Uh-huh.
He was the Rav of the Bnei Yaakov Shul. He was the Rav of the Beth HaMedrash HaGadol. He was also the Rav of the First Street Shul, which later on took a Rav for itself by the name of Rabbi Klavansky, who was son-in-law of a man by the name of Mr. Rogoff, who had two sons, one of them who was killed in the war in 1918. And that was Lou Rogoff. And now, let's see. Later on, the people who, later on, some of the people who had lived around 10th Street, 12th Street, 7th Street, established a shul on 12th Street with the help of Mr. Spivak. Mr. Spivak was a tailor. He was a very religious man, had a very nice family. One of his sons was Mose Spivak, who was a musician, and he had a band, and he used to play at these balls and dances and that they used to have in the Liederkranz Hall those years. The shul on Saturday nights, the cities would run dances.
Was that connected with the shul, the Liederkranz Hall, or what?
No, the Liederkranz Hall was rented by people who wanted to give societies, they wanted to give dances to raise money.
Yeah.
And they used to give those set, and Spivak was the fellow who supplied the orchestra. Later on, he was in business in Louisville, Kentucky. He had a clothing store on Market Street between 8th and 9th Street, or 9th and 10th. They were a very fine family. There were several brothers. There were Babe Spivak, Sam Spivak, and one of them was a doctor, and Babe became a doctor, and he went to Mumfordsville, Kentucky. And I went down to visit him in Mumfordsville. He was a regular country doctor, and he was very, very well liked. It must have been in the 30s I visited him.
Well, there must be still some of the Spivak family
I suppose there's still some Spivak family. Well, now the Jewish neighborhood at that time consisted of an area. I marked it out here in red pencil for you. We lived, when we first came here, we lived in this area.
Uh-huh.
We lived here, but maybe we lived there and so forth.
Now, what are those streets there?
Well, those streets are, I'm starting at Jackson Street because I lived on Jackson Street. And the Jewish community had stores all the way up to Shelby Street. There were the Ehrlichs, the Ehrlich family, and the Schulman family. There was a man who had a dry goods store by the name of Mr. Schulman. And his son later became a magistrate, Schulman, he was a lawyer. Then there was a department store. Now, the Jewish people there in those days already had department stores. They had furniture stores. One of them was run by a man by the name of Hennig, who was German. And they used to call him the Deutsch. And all these people had stores all around here. And in that little area between Jackson Street and Brook Street, there were all the Jewish butcher shops and all the Jewish bakeries and all the Jewish butchers. and I can tell you the names. There were two Jewish bakers in that area. There was Diamond the Baker, whose store was on Jefferson Street between Preston and Floyd, and Flegel's Bakery, which was, that's before Linker's.
Yeah.
On Floyd and Market, and he had two daughters. They used to be the sales girls. They were very nice people. They had a very nice, Flegel was president of one of the shuls. And then they had a butcher in that corner opposite Flegel's by the name of Kramer. They had a butcher by the name of, way back, 1904 or 5, they had a butcher by the name of Shapinsky, and after that became a butcher by the name of Rubin, and then after that became a butcher by the name of Schrager.
Uh-huh.
And they had those butchers, Schrager, Rubin, Kramer, those were the butchers uptown. Downtown Florida, they had butchers too in the 7th Street area. A lot of Jewish people lived down there. 7th and Walnut, they had department store by the name of Cohn.
And were these all kosher butcher shops?
These were all kosher. I'm talking about all kosher butcher shops. We had two Jewish kosher dairies. One was Goldstein and one was Feinberg.
Mm-hmm.
They were the kosher, they were real kosher. They were closed Shabbos, you know, they were strictly kosher. Now, I can't tell you about the butcher stores downtown that had kosher butchers on the below 7th Street. See, below 7th Street, see, this town sort of, the Jewish community sort of broke up a little bit because the stores stopped between, I would say, between 1st Street. Now, 1st Street had a group of Jewish businessmen, too. In fact, they had a cheder on 1st Street because the Anshei Sfard Shul was located on 1st and Walnut. At that time, the what is now the Eidat Yeshurun, your shul that you belong to?
Eidat Yeshurun, yeah.
That started at Floyd and Chestnut Street, near the Floyd and Chestnut Street school, see? Now, I went to school with a lot of Jewish children. Not too many, but just enough to make a nice little salt and pepper idea.
A nucleus, huh?
and in the school that I went, I went to school with the Glaser boys. I went to school with the, well, with the Waterman children. A lot of them are, they're all dead now. I can't remember them. All the people I went to school with, they're all dead. In my public school, and that's where I met a lot of those people. We met the Waldmans. The Waldmans, I went to school with some of the Waldmans, the Watermans, the Behrmans, all those children there. And then in that area, between Jackson and Brook and Market and Broadway were all Jewish. Preston Street was all Jewish, and they had all kinds of tradesmen there. They were paper hangers, Jewish paper hangers. We had two Jewish paper hangers in that town. We had secondhand stores. We had little department stores like Mrs. Waterman's store. Preston Street was full of Jewish stores. Every practically 90% of the stores were Jewish. A fruit store here and there was not Jewish. A jeweler here and there, Schoening. E.H. Schoening. I went to school with the Schoening boys. And the Jewish children in the public school, like the Salzman children, they were treated very well. The teachers made absolutely no distinction between Jewish and non-Jewish children.
There wasn't any anti-Semitism.
Never, in our public school, I'll give that credit to the Louisville school system, because at that time, way back at that time, we had the school board was elected. One of the superintendents of one of the people who was on the Board of Education was Dr. Bloom, but that had nothing to do with religion. And a man by the name of Engelhardt was on the Board of Education. And Dr. Marx was the superintendent. Now, our principal was a Unitarian,
mm-hmm.
You see. But up until, and they had a lot of Jewish children in that school, but they only went there as far as the sixth grade. Then all these children who reached the sixth grade had to go to Floyd and Chestnut, because the Fort Ward school where I went to didn't have anything beyond the sixth grade.
But would you go to cheder in the afternoon after public school?
Yeah, after public school we went to cheder. And we used to, we, our little cheder was next door to the Turner Gemeinde. And we met a lot of German boys, you know, the Turner's Verein.
Mm-hmm.
That was next door to the little shul. The little shul was a little tiny shul, and next door had a great big, long, great big empty space. And we got acquainted with some of the boys. Later on, I met some of the boys in high school, when I went to high school. And when I'm talking about the kind of stores we had around there, isn't that right?
Yeah, right.
And we had all kinds of stores. We had secondhand stores, the fruit stores and the jewelry stores, but most of them were little dry goods stores, little candy stores, and soda stores, Feitelsons. But they had every kind of store and every. We had a tinner, a roofer by the name of Blacher. I remember him from the first day we were in the United States, Blacher, because a family came to greet us, and one of the members of that family was related to Hilmar Ehrman, who was in the liquor business.
Mm-hmm.
He had a liquor store.
What did your dad do, Jack?
My father worked for Spivak's. He worked for Spivak's.
Uh-huh. He was a tailor.
Yeah, he was a tailor.
But didn't you tell me he was sort of a shamus?
In his spare time, he would act as a sort of unofficial shamus.
Yeah.
Yes, like on Sunday or Saturday afternoon. He wasn't exactly a shamus until later on he tied himself up at the shul. But what he did, he was a secretary of his shul.
Uh-huh.
That was a volunteer.
Now, what shul was that?
He was a secretary of Beth HaMedrash HaGadol.
Is that shul still in existence?
No, the United merged. That shul merged later on when they built the Knesset at Floyd and Jacob, and they sold it. There used to be a Floyd and Jacob. See, I can't tell you, but some of those things happened after I got out of Louisville. But at that time, there was still, your shul grew, before I left Louisville, your shul, they had that Yeshurun from Floyd and Chestnut.
That's Adith Israel now. Are you talking about Adith Yeshurun or Adith Israel?
No, I'm not talking, I'm talking about Adith Yeshurun.
Okay.
Adith Israel was located at 6th and Broadway.
Yeah.
Where the telephone company was in that area. And that was where the Dembitzes were. See, the German Jews lived on South 2nd Street, South 1st Street, South 3rd Street. I drew the line, and a dotted line here. You see, that's where, out here, that's where some of the richer Jews lived out here, like the Stavitskys, so forth. Then later on, they moved to Bardstown Road. See, then they built that.
Oh, this is the German Jews you're talking about?
Well,
they
some
went
of them,
out
yeah,
North
yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah, Jews here too,
and
Second Street.
About when was that?
Well, they started to go out Bardstown Road. Gosh, there were the Jews living there. The Reformed Jews were living there already up in the Highlands, Maryland. The Isaacs lived on Maryland. I mean, it must have been when I was 18. That must have been about 15, 16, 17, 18, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you about these stores. This was like a little, it wasn't a ghetto, but there were every kind of stores in Jewish hands. Now, the produce industry was not in Jewish hands. In other words, you go down, there was a hay market there, where everybody would go to market. That was not in Jewish hands. But there were Jewish bakers and Jewish, the Jewish groceries, Ben Klein set up the first supermarket in Louisville, Cut-Rate Groceries.
Oh, really?
Ben Klein set up a store. He was the son of Mr. Louis Klein, who was president of our shul, who had a little store on Preston Street. And his son, Ben, married one of the Feinberg daughters. And he opened up a store. He was a merchandiser. He had sugar, 24 pounds for a dollar, carried yourself, no deliveries.
Where was his store?
8 pounds.
Huh? Where was his store?
His store was on the south side of Jefferson Street, below Preston, between Preston and Floyd. That was a big cut rate store. Ben Klein. Everybody knew Ben Klein's store. And as I said, they had two bakers, kosher, and they also had a baker later on, years later, about 10 years later, or 12 or 15 years later. The Linker boys came over here and they established a bakery on West Market Street. So we had three Jewish bakers in town.
The Linkers are still here.
Yeah, they were started at the left of the market. And they supplied, that was the beginning of a community on the western part of town, below 7th Street. See, they already had a little community down there, 11th Street, 12th Street. It ran down as far as 18th Street. You could run into a Jewish store. At 1512, there was a Jewish dry goods store, Fleischacker's.
Mm-hmm.
And then Louisville had a lot of Jewish doctors those days. And they had Jewish drug stores. The Grauman's had a drug store at 7th and Jefferson. The Grauman family, they were Reformed Jews. Then on the south side of Market Street, they also had stores that were run by very rich Reformed Jews. Their name was Marx. They were in the hide and tallow business.
Uh-huh.
And then Main Street, between First Street down to 7th Street was wholesale houses, and they were a lot were Jewish merchants. See, Main Street was the wholesale house where the whiskey houses were. Ori Watson, Old Granddad, Belknap Hardware, Kentucky Tobacco.
You've got a phenomenal memory.
Oh, I got a terrific memory. Jenny told me anything. And that was at 2nd Street. Then they had the 3rd Louisville Bank. The 3rd National Bank, all the banks there. See, there were no Jewish stores in that area. Then they skipped. Then at 5th Street, the Jewish store started again below 5th Street. And then there were Jewish wholesalers who sold cotton goods, shirts, and then there was Simon Shapinsky and Company. They had a wholesale house at 6th and Main. And there were electrical contractors in Louisville, Jewish people, Oppenheimers. They had a store and shop at 3rd and Market Street. They were Reformed Jews. Then there was Levy's Department Store. They were Reformed Jews at 3rd and Market. Lowenhart's.
Lowenhart's.
Yes, so was Levy's. And Lowenhart's was 3rd and Market right across the street. And then later on, Ben Snyder came and opened up a store at 5th and Market. 4th Street had stores, Kaufman Strauss, and a lot of stores out 4th Street were already in Jewish hands. Bike shoes and fur coats. I can't remember some I did work for when I had later on.
What were you doing, Jack?
I was working. I was selling papers. I was selling papers until I went to work in 1911. 1911. Oh, during the summer vacations, I worked for Bernard Seligman. Bernard Seligman was connected with the Sneed Architectural Ironworks. They were builders of post offices around the United States, and I was the office boy. I worked there for 2 or 3 summers, and then when my brother Israel worked there later on, he worked there as a bookkeeper for a number of years after I left for New York. I think they're out of business now. The Seligman family was a very fine family. They were German Jews, and they were members of the Advent Israel Temple. So were the Flexners, mm-hmm. and the Brandeises. Dr. Florence Brandeis was my doctor when I was in the hospital. And Dr. Henry Rubel was our doctor. He became a doctor. He came from New York somewhere around 1912 or 1913. He's still alive. I saw him last time I was in Louisville. Mm-hmm. I visited him. And after that, I went to work for a telephone company. I worked for the electric light company for a number of years, and I went to work for a telephone company. I worked for a telephone company 5 years until the war.
You were here during World War One then.
I was in World War One. Yeah.
Were there many Jewish boys?
There were quite a few. Yes, a lot of them got killed. Yes, a lot of them. There were quite a few. I remember Louis Rogoff was one of the boys that got killed, but I can't remember. I went into the Navy. You see, I was with a telephone company, and I was exempted for a while because I worked in an engineering office, and I was exempted because I was helping support the family,
mm-hmm.
and because the telephone company needed me. And then finally, they got to the point where there were no more deferrals, and I enlisted. I enlisted
in
the Navy.
You went into the Navy?
I went to the Navy, yeah. And then I went to New York and I met my future wife. And then I came back to Louisville after the war and I started a business of my own on 820 West Market Street. And I was there about a year, year and a half. And I did business with the Western end, with the Jewish people. And I also did business with the big firms. I did work for the Federal Reserve Bank and so forth. I did quite a bit of electrical work here in town. And then one day I decided I'd go up and get married and sold my business and I went to New York.
And you left us, huh?
And I left. That's right. That's it. And I left my family here. And I used to come to see them every few years. Now, what else do you want to know?
Well, let me see. Let's back up a little bit. Were you active in any of the Jewish organizations or institutions?
No.
Can you tell me anything about the beginnings of any of them that made the Jewish community
no,
center?
No, I can't tell you about that.
Like
all I can tell you about the formation of the shuls, because there was the First Street Shul was not Anshe Sfarad. The two synagogues, Beth Medrash HaGadol, were all under the supervision of Rabbi Zahi. Then the Third Street Temple Eilat Israel moved to around near the library on Third Street, where it was until it was sold until the other day. And they had a rabbi there by the name of Enelo, who went to New York and became rabbi of the temple, Fifth Avenue, the famous temple in New York. Temple Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, yeah.
And until a few years ago when he died. And then Rabbi Joseph Rau took his place. And I think he died. Rabbi Joseph Rau. They named the plant, built the planetarium in his honor.
Mm-hmm.
He was the head of it. And then there was also a conservative, a reform synagogue here in Louisville called Brith Shalom. And
was
a second in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Later on, I think they had a rabbi by the name of Miller. I can't remember who was here after him. And then the your temple, Eilat Yeshurun, later moved up to the Highlands. And so did the Knesset, which was a combination of the Beit HaMidrash HaGadol and the B'nai Yaakov after they left Floyd and Jacob.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere around there. Yours was at Brooklyn College. Mr. Switow, the man who owned the moving picture theater, he was one of the big men of your connected with the shul. He worked very hard to establish that temple at Brooklyn College.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the Switow family did that. I
don't know them either.
Then there were the Adas family who had shoe stores on the west end of Louisville. There were several Adases, and there was a fellow by the name of Takow. He was in the insurance business. I remember him. I knew a great many of the people personally, great many, I can't think of them, but if you'll give me a list of names, I can tell you, well, I knew him, and I knew him, and I knew
him.
There was the Savitsky family, who were pawnbrokers, and there was the Isaac families. They were prominent in Louisville affairs. Then there was the doctors, dentists we had. There were Dr. One of the first dentists in Louisville to give painless extraction was Dr. I can't think of his name. He was on First Street, on Market Street between 2nd and 3rd. Dr. Galanter. Then we had optometrists. Jewish optometrists by the name of Mr. Goldstein. Then later on came some brothers. they had a store on Jefferson Street. They were very good
mechanics.
Need a drink
of water?
No. I forget their name. Strange name. But one of them is still in business here, in the, an optometrist in the Highlands from that family. They came in many, many, many years ago. See, so you had Jewish optometrists, you had Jewish doctors, mm-hmm. you had Jewish dentists, you had... anything you wanted, practically, was Jewish.
And it was all centered, more or less, in the beginning. They were all in that one area that you
one
told me
two,
about.
In those two areas
uh-huh.
around, and then gradually spread down that area out to South Louisville. Like the Sapinski family, they lived out South 3rd Street in back of the monument.
Mm-hmm.
They were members of Eilat Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the families gradually spread and spread and spread till you had to move up to the Highlands.
I guess you see a big difference when you come back to Louisville.
Oh, right? Yeah, I see a big difference. But I see some of the family I still remember. They grow. I see people. I just met Farrell Saltzman, one of the old people of the family. And, of course, the YMHA was a focal point where everybody would meet. Oh, Louisville had a lot of Jewish real estate people.
Oh.
The Linker family was in, they were cigar makers, and they were in the central part of the city. Schatz was a real estate business. He was in the central part of the city at 6th and Jefferson. And there were bankers. They had a bank, Building and Loan Association, I think that was, had something to do with Jewish people. It had some Jewish people in it. I don't remember the name. The Flexners. I think one of the Flexners was connected with the banking business. And but wherever you went in Louisville, they had, Louisville was a Jewish city. You go, like on the store where Jay Bacon had a store, practically every store on that side was Jewish except Bacon's and maybe a little candy store, Rudolph and Bauer, mm-hmm. little candy people.
Oh, Bauer's, there's still a
Well,
Bauer's
but there used to be Rudolph and Bauer.
Yeah.
Then later on, there were a lot of Jewish, later on, around about 1918, another electrical firm came to Louisville, two boys by the name of Broider, Louis Broider and Harry, I think it was.
Oh, there's still a Broider here in the Louisville.
The Louis Broiders, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they established a business at Second and Broadway. Yeah, yeah, they were very
well,
nice.
Well, they call him Bud, but I don't.
Bud, yeah. Well, but, they were. There was Max. Max was the eldest. He was a nice man. They were nice boys. They did quite a lot of contracting in Louisville. Tri-City Electric Company, they named it. And
Do you?
When I went away, after I went away, in 1922, I can still remember that they had three. Big people who were in the iron and metal business. The first one that was near where we lived was Simon Weber. He had a big iron and metal business. They called it the junk business. And then later on, the Kleppner brothers came along. The Kleppner, Morris Kleppner. They were in the west end of town. And there were the Adas family. There were so many. I can't remember them all. It's impossible. There were the Brooks brothers. Brooks had a clothing store on Market Street between Brook and Floyd on the south side of Market Street. I guess some of those areas are gone and disappeared.
Probably. You mentioned the YMHA.
The YMHA.
Do you remember the beginnings of the HA?
Yes,
and
I can remember the YMHA started. I think the earliest that I recall must have been somewhere. I can't remember. But I can remember when the YMHA started at 729 South 2nd Street in Louisville, and a Louisville boy by the name of Louis Cohen became the director. And he did a very good job.
Was this in the very beginning when they first organized
I must have been too young. When I came, I was already working for the telephone company. I never got to the YMHA until I was about a few years before I left Louisville. I wasn't enthusiastic of those things. I used to spend most of my time in the library.
Okay, yeah. Can you tell me now something about the building that the Y was in?
Oh, the Y,
and any of their activities, if you remember.
Well, they used to have dances, affairs, they had a nice library. The second, it was at the corner of, I think it was York Street. That's the street in back of Broadway. There was a church, a First or Second Presbyterian Church at that corner, because I remember going there to listen to the organist who I worked with the telephone company. And the YMHA was at 729, it was a block away from the YMCA. The YMCA was at the corner of 3rd and Broadway, and the YMHA was on 2nd Street on the corner of York Street.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what, yes.
What kind of a building did they have?
It was a brick building. I don't remember whether it had a swimming pool or not, but I know they had a track there for running because I used to run on it. A quarter of a mile track they had. And they had clubs there. And at first, the Orthodox people didn't have anything to say in the Y. The early years of the Y was dominated by the majority of the The Orthodox Jewry was practically out of the YMHA for a long, long, long time.
Why do you think that was?
Because it did not attract, the Orthodox boys until later on. Then some of the Orthodox boys began to join, boys from Orthodox families, and then the YMHA, they had an orchestra, YMHA orchestra, because it was an Orthodox boy by the name of Simon, had a lot to do with getting the orchestra into action.
Uh-huh.
But really, the YMHA was not for the real Orthodox for a long time, because it was practically run by the people from your shul, the conservatives,
yeah,
and the reform element that had a lot to do with the YMHA.
Well, what kind of activities did they have?
Well, they had dances, balls, affairs. Well, I can't tell you,
because
I had to participate in them. I used to go there to study or to...
Well, they had an orchestra. Is this a...
They had an orchestra, yes, a YMHA orchestra. They used to practice, I think. I didn't take much part in that stuff. I told you, I didn't take any part in the Jewish
uh-huh.
affair. I stuck pretty close to studying at home. I wasn't much of a...
Well, when did the Orthodox begin to participate in the war?
Well, just about 1917, 18, about just before the war, I guess. Just before the war, maybe 14, 15, 16,
yeah.
I don't know, somewhere like that.
Did they do
it? And then later on, what happened when the war started, when the First World War started, 1914, an influx of Jewish soldiers, of Jewish people, came to Louisville and changed the whole setup of Louisville. Some of the people had boarded a lot of Jewish boys, but I can't tell you too much because I wasn't involved with the Jewish community. I was a little bit aloof from the
uh-huh.
Jewish community. I had a lot of business with the Goyish community. Yeah, I had a lot of Goyish friends. I traveled in Goyish circles, in spite of the fact that I was a Jew. I traveled with in the circles of Judge Miller's son, who was the mayor of Louisville. We were very good friends.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for the paper. I carried papers, and I palled around with a lot of the boys who sold papers, with a lot of Irish boys. I had more Irish and non-Jewish friends than the Jewish friends. Because I worked for the telephone company.
Yeah, and there weren't many Jewish boys probably.
And I worked for the telephone company from 1913 to 1918, and there were four of us Jews that I knew. There was Old Man Goldstein, who had been the telephone company from time immemorial, who lived at Preston and Chestnut. He worked in the actual physical plant department where he repaired telephone instruments and so forth. I worked in the engineering department, drafting department, of the division office. He worked for the local telephone
uh-huh.
company, Cumberland Telephone Company, local district office. And then there was a man by the name of Moses Cohen, whose father was a tailor. And Moses Cohen worked for the telephone company. Another fellow by the name of Benny Smith worked for the telephone company. That's all I can remember.
They were all Jewish.
All Jewish,
all
sure.
People, yeah.
Benny Smith, everybody knew Benny Smith was Jewish. Everybody knew I was Jewish. Everybody in the whole telephone company knew I was Jewish. General manager, everybody knew I was. They used to kid me about it, and I used to laugh with them. They all liked me very, very much.
Well, when you think back, can you think of any Jewish figures that were outstanding in the community at
oh,
the time
sure.
that were well-known?
Of course, there was Judge Ben F. Washer. He was the chief counsel for the Louisville Railroad. There was Seligman, the lawyer, Joseph Seligman, and the architect, Joseph and Joseph,
uh-huh.
outstanding men in the community. Emil Takow was an outstanding man in the community. The Flexner family, Dr. Jacob Flexner, was an outstanding man in the community. Rosenberg, the undertaker, old man Rosenberg, who was had two daughters, and one of them been married to a rabbi. And Dr. Bloom, who was a great guy, he was a fine doctor. And Dr. Israel, Dr. I. Letterman, one of the famous eye doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Fleischacker, Frank Fleischacker, is an outstanding, well-beloved doctor. Well, dentist, I can't tell you so much. Goldberg was a Jewish dentist on Second. Was well-liked, had a very nice practice on Second and Broadway. Dr. Goldberg, a plain needle, is a very good doctor. Did some work on me, too. And he was very well-liked. And then there were glass people who were in the glass business who were well-known. Wolf Blitz, he installed glass in the big buildings, and they had a young fellow work for him, went in business for himself, called Meyer. His father was a tailor. Brill.
Brill?
The Brill, the tailor, had a son. And their son worked for Blitz, and he later on became Brill Glass Company. Mm-hmm. He went in the glass business. And outstanding Jewish people in the educational field. If I'd have some reference, I could recall it, but I can't remember.
This Rabbi Zaki that you mentioned,
Rabbi Zaki,
was he?
Rabbi Zaki was a scholar of the first water. He was a sickly man. He had asthma. He came to Louisville from Des Moines, Iowa, and his wife was a wonderful woman. They had no children. And we were the errand boys because we lived across the street from them. The rabbi would call on us to run errands for him. My father would run errands for him. My father would die for him. I attended to all of Rabbi Zaki's afternoon lectures. Whenever Rabbi Zaki gave a lecture, I attended it. I would, every Saturday afternoon, wherever Rabbi Zaki spoke, I was there to listen to him. That's where I got a great deal of my Jewish education and knowledge.
Was he affiliated with any particular shul?
No, he was the city, he received pay from all the shuls, would contribute to his salary. I'm ashamed to tell you what his salary was. I wouldn't...
Oh, I can imagine.
It was very small. It wasn't sufficient he had to draw on his own resources. The city, and a lot of times they were deficient in paying him. Because I know my father would sometimes ask me to go out and raise, to collect money for certain purposes. And I used to go out on Second Street on Sunday mornings and I'd collect 25 cents from this family, 25 cents from this family, 25 cents. They belonged to a sort of a, an organization called Gemilas Sodom, I don't know, the rabbinical fund, I don't know what it was. They used to give me about 50 receipts, and Papa would say to me, Jack, go out and you got a bicycle, go out to Second and College, Second and Breckenridge, that's where the Jewish people lived, Adis and company, and I would collect quarters. And I'd say to my father, Papa, what is this money for? I'd say, never mind, he says, it's for the community.
Well, were there other rabbis here? Or
no, there weren't many. No, no, he was the only rabbi. Later on, after he died, each shul got his own rabbi. But you see, the downtown shul, shul that started on 12th Street didn't have a rabbi. They considered him, they referred all matters to him. He was like a chief rabbi, uh-huh. And he was greatly respected. He was respected by Rabbi Miller, he was respected by Rabbi Enelo and Rabbi Rauch, you know, when he lived, each one lived, and he was respected by everybody. And he was, one Saturday he would daven one shul, one Saturday he would daven another shul, and one Saturday he would lecture in this. Later on, the First Street shul, which was Atze Spard, got their own rabbi, Rabbi Klawanski, for a long time. I don't know what happened to this. I don't know what happened to... Then that became what is known as Rabbi Rudman's shul.
Yeah.
You see? Then later on, the 13th shul that was on 12th and Jefferson, which was started by the Spivak family, combined with the Rudman shul.
And what was the name of it? What was it called when they combined?
I don't know the name. I don't know the name of Rudman shul.
Where did Rabbi Zaki come from?
Rabbi Zaki came here about 1901 from Des Moines, Iowa.
Was he born in this country?
I don't think so. He was a great Rav because my Rav knew him. My Rabbi Washer knows him. He was a great scholar. Unfortunately, he was a little asthmatic. He was a fine man. He was a great
teacher. Did he live here then until he died?
Yeah, he lived here. He lived on 320... He lived at 330 East Wallace Street for a long time, then he moved to 502 East Chestnut Street, Chestnut and Jackson. Mm-hmm. Jackson and Chestnut, on the other side. And there was also a very fine doctor here at that time who helped start that shul of yours, that with Mr. Simon Shapinsky, Mildred Landau's grandfather.
Yeah, Simon Shapinsky. That's Adat Yeshurun you're talking about.
Talking about your shul, Adat Yeshurun, not the Adat Israel.
Yeah.
And Dr. Salinger, who lived on Chestnut Street between Preston and Jackson. On that side of the street was a big, also he acted like a president of his shul. He was a very important man in the shul. He helped build, but later what happened to them, they moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And one of them later on came back to Louisville. I saw her. Her name was Bertie Salinger. Oh, my mother was crazy for her. Dr. Salinger was a lovely man. I knew all those people. Of course, I can't remember ever. Then there was a man who had a store by the name Sherkaski. He had a store on First Market, and he had a son. And once I was in New York City, I bumped into him. He remembered me, and I remembered him from Louisville. His name was Abe. He changed his name from Abe Sherkaski to Abe Chase. I remembered him. I bumped into him. I never saw him. And I remember the Struhl, Charlie Struhl. He was the head of the Federation. Charlie Struhl was a son-in-law of, who did he marry? He married one of the Sapinskys.
The Jewish Federation?
Yes. Uh-huh. Charles Struhl. He had a brother by the name of Herman.
Did
Herman
they
became
call
a doctor.
It the Federation in those days?
Yes, it was called the Federation, yes. Yes, it was called the Federation. And it had a woman director for a long time. I don't remember the name. I can't remember. Florence. But that's about all I can tell you about that. Then I left Louisville in 1922. Uh-huh. And I married in 1923. I started my business in Times Square, 42nd Street. Mm-hmm. And then I would go over to the library and visit Miss Flexner. She had been promoted from the Louisville Library, Reader's Advisor, to the main library in New York.
Oh, really?
However, a few blocks away, I would see her all the time. Uh-huh. It was Miss Jenny Flexner.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Oh, and that's about it.
That's about it.
I have one grandson. He's about 24. He graduated University of Maryland. He had the average boy's education. I have only one son. I have a fine daughter-in-law. My parents live in Florida, and that's where they are now, visiting their parents, but that's why I'm here in Louisville. See, because if they would be home in Teaneck, near where I live, I would be there with them.
Do you live with them?
No, I live in Pagoda. Pagoda is
a little
town.
Oh, that's right. You tell me you lived in Pagoda.
4 minutes ride from, 2 miles from where they are. My son is vice president of the big shul, and he'll be president this year. Uh-huh. It's a big job. It's 1,250 family members.
And what denomination is that?
Conservative.
Conservative.
Yeah, but we have an Orthodox rub. Our shul is a large conservative shul on the Orthodox style. Some of the things that we do are really Orthodox, like the cantor faces away from the audience. Mm-hmm. See, the women and men sit together, but the service is completely Orthodox.
Yeah.
Of course, there's some English and so forth, modern. Service lasts 3 hours, but we have. We have a full 3-hour service from 9 to 12. Sometimes you get out 11:30, depends on how much speaking you do. And it's a well-run organization. And then my granddaughter went to school there, my grandson went to school there, the Cheder, in their school, and graduated by mitzvahs. My granddaughter was bas mitzvah. She's now 23, I think. She's 21. She's in fifth year in Rutgers University in the pharmacy school. And then I have a young grandson. The youngest is 16.
You have quite a family.
I only have one son.
Very
then cool. I have a large family on my wife's side. Mm-hmm. I have 6 sister-in-laws.
Oh, wow.
Well, Mildred is my sister-in-law. Helen is my sister-in-law. Mrs. Silverberg is my sister-in-law, who lost her husband, Erev Pesach, 7 years ago. Mrs. Annette Silverberg is my sister-in-law on my on my wife's side, who lost her husband. And then my sister-in-law, Sadie, who lost her husband a few years ago on my sister, on my wife's side. And another one who is in Los Angeles, is my sister-in-law, who also lost her husband in 1931, and she remarried a man by the name of Grossman. She's still alive, but she's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, I have sister-in-law.
You got big family. Finish up on the interview we started the other day. You had mentioned to me that there were one or two things you might want to add on to the tape, such as mom and pop stores. And
all right, we'll tell you that about that now. Well, you know, a lot of these small storekeepers had stores on Market Street, Jefferson Street, Preston Street, and on Preston Street they had a great many small stores of all kinds, little dry goods stores, shoe stores, secondhand stores, the milk stores, the butcher shops, and the majority of the people who owned those stores lived in the back of the stores. You want to see Mr. Pressman, who owned the little dry goods store on Preston Street? You want to go see, pay him a visit? You go to his home, you go through the store and walk into the back. There were three rooms or four rooms. And nearly everybody, like the Roth family, who had a little store, a men's clothing store, it was a little secondhand store. You want to visit the Roth family? You go through the store, go back in the house. That was their kitchen and their living room and everything. Upstairs were more people. And all along, the Watermans, who had a little department store, they lived across there. In the next block, there were candy stores. And I remember there was in one of the stores, there was a locksmith, a Swede. I've forgotten his name. I was on good terms with him. I spent a lot of time. He was a mechanic. He liked me. He was a Swede. And he lived in back of his store. And many years later, after I left Louisville, in the 30s, I'd go visit friends there on Preston Street. Their homes were right there in back of the stores.
Yeah.
In nearly every store, in other words, a man didn't, there was Jake Berman, who had a little store. Of course, as I mentioned before, there was the Waterman store. All those people lived in back of the, everybody lived in back of the stores. Mr. Lippitz lived in back of his store.
They didn't have a store. Was there a lot of visiting back and forth?
Oh, there was constant visiting. Now, around on Madison Street, there was some private residences, people who were like insurance agents and who worked for other people. They lived on Madison Street. But a lot of these people, the majority who owned stores, I remember the Rabinowitz Bakery on Preston and Chestnut, a well-known bakery. I forgot to mention her among the first bakers. That was in the residential area already, right near the Old City Hospital. There was a little bakery, the Rabinowitz's, and she lived in back of her store. I remember her boy broke her arm, broke his arm, and he had it in a sling. And when I went to visit him, I had to go to his mother's store and go to the back. And the same way with the merchants, with a lot of them, I won't say all of them, the better class merchants, the higher grade merchants, the diamond merchants, the pawnbrokers, they had their regular places. A lot of them had their regular places on Market Street, like Mr. Isaacs. He lived on Maryland Avenue already, see? The Stavitsky's, they lived on Second Street. And down on the better known merchants on West Market Street, they already had lived on Second Street. But in the early years, all the small, like the butcher, Mr. Rubin, he lived in back of his butcher shop.
Mm-hmm.
Schneider lived in back of his butcher shop. And that is why the entire Jewish community was right near the shuls. They didn't have,
yeah.
Nobody had to ride anywhere. But later on, when the Floyd and Chestnut Street shul moved to Brooklyn College, it developed a little Jewish community on the other side of Broadway. And of course, there were no stores on the other side. They were all residences.
Mm-hmm.
The Myers family lived on Floyd Street. The Broadway was a sort of a dividing line. Then later on, a lot of the Jewish people moved out towards Brook Street, First Street, Second Street. As their stores got wealthier and better, they Market Street, you had to close up your store at night. But the Jewish people who lived below 5th Street, 6th Street, 7th Street, and had little pop-and-mom stores, they also, on Market Street, between 7th and 9th, lived in back of their stores. There was a little Jewish section of a few blocks long. One of them was Fisher. Fisher, the father of the man who made these windows for the Knesset.
Oh, yeah.
His father's store, his grandfather, they lived way down on 7th and Market Street. Then there was a Friedman family on 7th Street who had a, who were very well known. They were very active in the downtown shul. They had a store on 7th Street. 7th Street between Jefferson and Walnut, the blocks between Jefferson and Walnut, contained a row of stores owned by Jewish families who lived in back of their store, like Mr. Cohen, who owned the big department store on 7th and Walnut. He lived in back of his house and in back of his store.
That was a different way of living.
Yeah, a different way. But of course, the merchants like Ben Snyder, who came later and established their store in downtown, that closed up at 6 o'clock. And there were also many Jewish stores in the 1903, 1904, 1905, 1906, 7, 8, 9, 10, on the south side of Market Street between 9th Street and 12th Street. There were old established Jewish stores like the Roth family, Mr. Abram Roth, the brother of the man who lived on Preston Street. He had a store. He had a real nice department that later became the Schatz family. They lived on the Market Street between 10th and 11th, and they lived in back of their house. And the non-Jewish neighbors, like Mr. the Schrader, they had jewelers by the name of Schrader. They were jewelers. They were non-Jewish. They also had a jewelry store, and they lived in back of their stores. And even a lot of non-Jewish families who had little stores up there, they lived in back of their houses.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a man didn't live downtown on Market Street, he had a little store. He didn't have to get on the streetcar and go home.
Everything was centered right there.
Compact, constantly compact there all the time.
Social life, too, was centered.
The social life was all grouped around those three organizations. And, of course, they had some way of keeping in touch with the Western elm, because they used to have these dances and balls and affairs, and they were pretty well publicized, and they had a very good attendance from all neighborhoods. Like the Liederkranz Hall was a favorite spot for dances and balls. It was like Liederkranz Hall was a hall, it was rented to political rallies, to synagogues for dances and so forth like that. They didn't use the YMHA then, because I think the YMHA at that time was too small. And at those balls you would meet Jewish people, Jewish families from Preston Street, Market Street, Chestnut Street, Brook Street, 7th Street, 8th Street, 9th Street, 12th Street. They would all come and go in those. And that is why a lot of those people had their residences right at their place of business.
Mm-hmm.
Even a lot of non-Jews. We lived upstairs over a fruit store. And the man owned the fruit store, and he lived downstairs. He lived downstairs in back of his store. And next door were a very nice German family by the name of Schonings. They had a jewelry store, and they lived over the store.
That was a way of life.
That was the way of life then,
right.
Those days, yes. Everybody lived there. Feinbergs lived there. The milkman lived in the back of the store. The Goldsteins lived in the back of the store. The Diamonds lived in the back of the store. And the Ross lived in the back of the store. Watermans lived in the back of the store. And here and there was, between some of the stores, was a couple of lots and properties which were residences. There were no stores.
Uh-huh.
You know, here's a store, and then back is a residence. That on Preston Street. And trees, and remember, we lived in one of those houses there. And then the next block would be stores again, and the people would live in back of the stores. And now, there was a Jewish butcher by the name of Moss. There was a Jewish butcher by the name of Moss who owned a Treif butcher shop, not Jewish, not kosher.
Uh-huh.
He was a member of the Eidat Israel. And he had a store on Preston and Madison, and he did not live over his store. He did not. He lived another away from there. He used to have to come to work.
Yeah.
He didn't. Mr. Moss did not. He closed up his store at night and he lived somewhere else.
He got away from it at night.
Yeah, he got away from it.
You also told me you wanted that there were some Jewish people in the construction business.
Yes, in the construction business, I recall there was a man by the name of Bornstein. At first, he was a small carpenter, a small builder, did small jobs. Later on, he grew bigger and bigger, and it became, I think it was B. Bornstein and Sons. And later on, I think his son, Ailey, became part of the business. And they built the Republic Building.
Mm-hmm.
They were he became general contractors in Republic. Then there was another fellow by the name of Platoff. He came over from Russia or Poland, I don't know. He became a member of the smaller shul. Then later on, he became a member of both shuls. And he was a carpenter and a builder by the name of Platoff. And he married a girl by the name of Koppelman. I think he married Yetta Koppelman. And he became a builder, a contractor who branched out and built more and more and more homes and stores. And finally he associated himself with a man by the name of Bush, Jewish man, nice man. They used to be members of our shul, downtown Preston and Green, Preston and Liberty now. And that was the best I met with Shagul. And they set up a business called Platoff and Bush. And they were pretty large, they did some pretty nice buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And did I tell you about the junk people who were in the junk business?
No.
There was, Louisville had people who were in the iron and steel business. When I came to Louisville, the best known was Simon Weber.
He was in the junk business?
Yeah, they owned a big junk shop right on Jackson and Main. And they covered a block between Preston and Jackson on the south side of Main Street. That was S. Weber and Sons. Then later on, a young couple, young men came over from Europe too. They were the members of the Klempner family. There was a family by the name of Klempner who had a store on 9th and Madison Street. And they were relatives of the Salzman family, Morris Salzman, whose son is Farrell Salzman.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. and Mrs. Klempner were relatives of the Salzman family, and they had a store on the corner of Madison and 9th Street. And we were very friendly with them. My father visited them all the time. We lived above 1st Street, and they lived down. We used to walk down just to visit them. And those boys established the Klempner brothers' iron and junk business. Then there was another old-timer, a very old-timer, way back 1903, 1904, on Market Street between 9th and 10th Street, a man by the name of Jacob Levi. Philip Levi. Now wait, he was the father of Jake Levi, and they had a brother, it's Sam Levy, Sam, Phil, and Harry, I think that's what it was. It was Jake Levi, Harry Levi, Nathan Levi, and Sam Levi, the four Levi brothers.
The
office was a family. Now, that later became Jacob Levy and Sons. During World War I, they were big in army secondhand army clothes. And then that's the Levy.
That's
right.
Here.
That was they started. Their father started. We were very friendly with them. We visited them all the time. My father and Mr. Philip Levy were very good friends. We used to go down to visit them very, very often. They lived over their store on 9th and Market Street, where they had their junk store.
Uh-huh.
It was a junk shop. That's where. And in the eastern part of town, there was a Jewish family by the name of Mr. Wasbutsky. He was a very religious from Jew. He was a member of the, B'nai Yankov. And he had a junk shop, metal and iron business, you know, like Weber, only on a small scale, on Green Street, which later became Liberty Street, between Preston and Floyd. and he had his junkyard there. The small dealers, the small wagons would go around and collect junk. They would sell them to Levi's and to Wasbutsky's on the east, on the uptown side. Levi was downtown. And then there was the Klempner brothers, S. Weber and Son, and later on, and then also I remember there was in Louisville there was a pickle works. I think it was a Hyman pickle works. I don't think it was the Hirsch. But it was quite a big industry in the western part of town around 13th Street, south 13th Street on the other side of. I don't remember street, somewhere around 13th. It was on 13th Street and Gray. I don't remember exactly what it was. So that's about all. I think that's all I can remember about them. But I didn't want to tell you about those contractors.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to tell you about that. There was a, I don't remember whether it was Hyman Brothers or whether it wasn't Hirsch.
The pickle, can't remember exactly who.
No, I think it was the Hyman pickle for it. And then the Hirsch took it over later. Mm-hmm. But there was a well-known industry in Louisville.
Very good.
And I did want to mention about those contractors because Platoff and Bush came from the other side, worked themselves up very hard. Barnsteins worked themselves up very hard. And
what happened? Do you know what happened to any of these people, where they went from here? Or?
Well, I think the Bornstein family, Ellie Bornstein, built the synagogue up. I think I wasn't here. You know, I left here in 1922, and I didn't keep too much in touch with the details of what those people did. The old man Bornstein must have been dead by the time I got here in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come every couple of years, but I didn't bother myself with civic affairs. I used to come to visit my father, mother, and brothers, and then I would go home. I would visit a few friends, like my friend Mr. Isaacs, you know, my friend Dr. Rubel or something like mm-hmm. that. A few friends, a few Goyesha friends, teachers. And but I didn't bother too much about those other, I didn't go to the YMHA, nothing. And there were, as I said before, there were a lot of people in the real estate business. I covered that before in the previous audition.
Well,
is there anything else you want to ask?
I think that's about it. If you can't think of anything else, we certainly do thank you for your time.
No,
your enlightenment.
I'll say this. I may be mistaken about a few little details, but in general, everything I'm telling you is absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you very much. We do appreciate it.
If you go over it.